See y'all tomorrow. Welcome into Open Gym here on Texas Sports Unfiltered. Myself, Patrick Davis, alongside Matt Gallatin of Texas Longhorns on SI. And of course, you, the third member of Open Gym. That's how we keep it open. Text lines open, 512-222-9328. And over there on the chat, Facebook, Twitch, X, and on YouTube, I do need to check the text line. We've been going, Matt. I have been on here for already like an hour and 15 minutes or so. We hopped on because our man Chip Brown had to run when that news broke today. That if anybody has missed it, Pete Kwiatkowski and Dwayne Aquina are out. They have been let go by Texas football, and they have hired Will Muschamp as the replacement. There is still a lot going on, and we're trying to figure out where it's at. But Matt, that's a surprising one. We kind of getting some news every day. We've getting a little bit to get into, and then that's the big one. And it's overshadowed something that is another report that has come out today that Trey Wisner is apparently returning. That news that he is now, I've read and from a few different people that is reported that he is coming back. I have not seen that one as validified as I know that the University of Texas and Sark has made a statement about the hiring of Will Muschamp and firing of Pete Kwiatkowski and Dwayne Aquina. But Matt, you know, nothing's slow on a holiday Thursday, is it?
I just want to play this real quick.
Everybody see that? It's gap control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
That is your new defensive coordinator, guys. I am pumped about this. I was shocked. I was sitting here about to record a podcast, and, you know, the day had finally started to slow down a little bit. There was some weird news out of Texas A&M about one of their wide receivers signing a new contract extension, and it was announced as a contract extension and that he was going to be the highest paid wide receiver in college football.
USC.
I was like,
USC started that.
Yeah,
crap.
USC's doing it. So I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll write that real quick. And then this dropped, and I was like, I am really glad I'm not on the air right now because I need to get all this taken care of. And thankfully, you know, I was not. Chip had to bounce, and Patrick was kind enough to hop on to do 3 hours and 15 minutes straight of radio.
I've done it before. I used to do 4 hours a day, Matt. I'm more used to it.
Yeah, but this is what up, Naman? This is, I think, it was shocking. I will say that. It was shocking. Yeah. I consider Pete Kwiatkowski one of the best defensive coordinators in college football. I think he's a top 10 defensive coordinator in college football. Obviously, things regressed this year. A large part of it was, yes, Gringo, I know it's hard. But obviously, you know, the Texas defense took a major step back at some point this year. I think a large part of that was due to Dwayne Aquina and the way that he was coaching that safety room. But hey, Sark obviously took the news of not making the playoff and the way that the season went as a wake-up call. And if there was any sign that there was going to be a wake-up call that needed to be made, I think that we have it now, because he is doing everything he can to revamp this coaching staff. He's going to do everything he can in the portal to revamp this roster. And Patrick, I'm going to be real honest with you. When I heard Will Muschamp at first, I was like, wow, I haven't heard about him in a while. So I texted my buddy Brooks, and we tried to get on the show, but he's on his way to College Station right now. And I was like, Brooks, like, is Will Muschamp still a good defensive coach? And he came back with an F yes. I'm censoring it for the show.
Yes.
He's like, he is the guy that game planned against Texas over the last couple of years and really did the job in shutting them down. He's one of the best minds in college football. He called Will Muschamp a top five defensive coordinator in the country. He obviously brings a ton of energy. He brings a ton of experience. And really, if you think about it, his only issues as a coach throughout his career have been when he's a head coach. When he's been a defensive coordinator, he has been, if not the best, one of the best in the nation. So I think that this is actually a major upgrade for Texas.
Yeah, and Dame, he did coach alongside Mack Brown because he was the heir apparent at Texas many years ago. Will Muschamp was named coach in waiting at Texas in what, 2009, 2010, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. He was named the coach in waiting at Texas. that he was going to be the next head coach. And that was something that was being done around that time. And Mac Brown was like, yeah, I'm coaching waiting. I expect to be here another 15, 20 years though. So you're going to be a DC forever. That was never going to work. I mean, it was just a way to keep him for another year. But he went off and did it. It's one of those things. And I hopped on with Zay and you're just trying to unpack it in the moment, but it is, you know, how much of this has been brewing between Sark and PK, or the higher ups at Texas and PK, of 2 years ago being that the defense was not, the secondary was not really where it needed to be. You bring in Johnny Nansen, you bring in some other people to try and fix that, and you do. And you become last year one of the top defenses. What Zay brought up is what Chip always brings up, is the Travion Henderson play at the end of the first half against Ohio State, that if you're in the right position, you're in the right spot, that doesn't happen. There's a much better chance you could have been national champions a year ago. And so that little bad taste of those defensive things. And when you have an offensive head coach, you know, there's always going to be extended pressure onto the defense to make sure you put yourself in the best position to win. I think he's done a good job. The regression at the end of the season, Matt, one of the pieces I brought up earlier is watching the defense be pretty unsure of where to be. It's a nice way I'll say this, without Michael Taft or Anthony Hill on the field. When you lost your coaches on the field, it didn't feel like this was a great coach defense. You know, it didn't feel like the coaching was really getting everybody to know where they were, to where you feel comfortable with Ty Anthony Smith being a guy who can now take over a bigger role instead of being the go-getter of the linebacker core. You don't really feel as confident because you're like, I don't know how much he knows, because he's just lining up in really bad spots when Anthony Hill wasn't out there. And when Michael Taft wasn't out there, the secondary didn't get lined up right. And so I think those might play into a decision of, we need a guy who's going to coach up more guys on our roster, which means in bringing in more support, means bringing in other things. But seeing where, you know, I like, we're lucky we have those players, but we're losing two coaches on the field. We may need to change up this attitude going forward, because it's now like there's already going to be a big shift in defense after this season. We can see it with the opt-outs, that this may be the time of, well, maybe we buy PK another year. Muschamp's available now. He probably won't be in a year. Muschamp's a guy Sark really likes. I would like to wait another year. I'd like to give PK the benefit of the doubt, but this is show business, not show friends. We need to get in there and make the move now, so we feel more confident going forward. And again, Muschamp's an SEC guy. PK was a Pac-12 guy. PK did well in the Big Ten. He had some good success in the SEC, but he lost at the higher levels. Florida outdid him. Georgia's outdone him. But he's done pretty well. Not taking a shot at PK, because I think PK is still a really good defensive coordinator. But it just feels like when you're trying to put together a championship team, sometimes you have to sit there and say, these are the hard decisions. And if we can upgrade our running backs coach from the 10th best running backs coach to the 5th best, well, let's do that. We can upgrade our defensive coordinator from the 7th best to the 4th best. Let's go do that.
I thought about it, CB.
You were like, we have to upgrade wherever we can. And it just kind of feels like this is one of those decisions, whether it's more in the making, I don't know. You know, hopefully we'll see more reports and we'll get more stuff. I hopped on, so I'm texting with a couple people, but no one that has got anything definitive yet. So, you know, it's more along the lines of, you know, we'll find out, but it leaves me with two questions. I'll pose these to you, Matt, early on here, that I asked Zay about. What about Johnny Nansen now, who came on a year ago and really seemed to help the defense a lot, but was a linebacker's coach, that Anthony Hill's leaving and Leonga Lefauer leaving. So what's the deal with Johnny Nansen now with Will Muschamp coming in? And then on the other, now who the hell is wearing the green dot on this defense? Because the green dot now is going to a guy who's never had a green dot and doesn't know the play caller. Like, is going to meet the play caller today, tomorrow? The game's in 2 weeks.
Well, do we know if Muschamp's calling plays in the?
It's been reported that he is.
He's calling plays in the Michigan game. Wow.
That's okay. There's been some reports of it. I mean, who else would be calling plays?
Nansen? I don't know. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'll have to look into that. But I don't know what happens with Johnny Nansen. Here's what I think, just off of instinct or whatever you want to call it. I think if you bring in a guy like Will Muschamp, you are basically handing the keys of the defense to this guy, and you are going to let him do what he wants to do with that staff. Right? I think that you say, hey, Gringo, I don't enjoy it that much. Give me a break.
We all got to make money, Gringo. We all got to make money.
Look, I'm really good at what I do, and they want to hear my opinion, so I let them pay me for it. I think that you say, like, hey, okay, we got Lal and Clark. We've got, you know, Mark Orphy. We've got this guy. We think they're really good. I expect a couple of these guys to stick around. But if Will Muschamp comes to you and says, hey, I want to make a change at this position, I want to make a change at that position, you listen to him and you let him go get the guys that he wants to get, that he wants to coach with. If Johnny Nansen doesn't fall into that category, then maybe he's gone. I think this is unbelievable, an unbelievable hire. I would let him do whatever he wants to do with that defense. Emmanuel Acho, in fact, tweeted a stat, or I don't even know if you'd call it a stat, but he tweeted something a few minutes ago that I want to read to you guys that I think is crazy. Will Muschamp's NFL draft picks in the 2010 BCS, game. Sam Acho, fourth round pick. Lamar Houston, second round pick. Keyston Randall, seventh round pick. Sergio Kendall, second round pick. Emmanuel Acho, sixth round pick. Keenan Robinson, fourth round pick. Roderick McElroy, fourth round pick. Earl Thomas, first round pick. AJ Williams, second round pick. Curtis Brown, third round pick. Chikey Brown, fifth round pick. And Blake Gideon, who played in the NFL. Every single player on that starting defense made it to the NFL. So not only is this guy an absolute schematic game planning wizard, but he's also a phenomenal developer of talent. And I'll tell you one thing. What has been everybody's biggest complaint about PK over the last few years?
Zone.
Sitting back in a soft zone, and being conservative and doing the bend but don't break thing, right?
Yeah.
Will Muschamp ain't going to do that.
No.
If you watch the Georgia everybody, go watch the Georgia defense from the last 2 years. That's what Texas is going to do. Yeah. I can guarantee it. Except they've got Colin Simmons. They've got Justice Terry. They've got Lance Jackson. That pass rush is going to be elite. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be elite. I mean, you think about what Georgia did last year with those edges, Mikel Williams, and who's the guy that went to the Falcons?
Oh, I can't remember his name, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
The edge rusher. See what they did with those two guys? That's what Texas is going to do with Colin Simmons and Lance Jackson and all these other Jalen Walker. Yes, thank you, Woodcrest.
Yeah.
They are going to do those kinds of things, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. They're going to be aggressive. They're going to fly around the football, and they are going to be a lot of fun to watch.
No, I agree, and like it kind of makes me wonder about LaFau now a little bit. Of one of the things with LaFau was not a scheme fit. One of the things that was said of why we walked away from Texas. I don't know how much of him already basically saying I'm entering the portal takes Texas and Sark says, okay, that decision's been made. We're moving on. We have other targets in mind now. We would rather go get those guys. Or does he see them bring in a Will Muschamp and say, oh, no, that's the scheme I wanted. You were going to drop me back in coverage every freaking play, and I didn't want to do that. I don't want to drop in coverage. I want to blitz. I want to be able to go hit the runner. I want to go play defense the way I want to play it. And does a Will Muschamp maybe take somebody like that where I get we still need to go get a linebacker and maybe two, but I think it does change because, again, like I want to get into this either today or tomorrow about how many teams are going to be spending a ton of money in the portal this year and how crazy it's going to be that we can't just assume, oh, we're spending a bunch of money. So we'll get who we want. Like, we're going to miss out on some of these guys. It just is what it is. So if you're able to keep LaFau and then try and go get another linebacker, I feel it can make your linebacker core really good again next year, as opposed to trying to go out and get two top-level linebackers is a little bit harder to do. Now, you may say Elijah is going to be able to step up in that role. You maybe say Atkinson is going to be able to step up in that role, and they don't have to do any of that. But just an interesting piece that we'll have to see about LaFau now, because, the soft coverages, dropping Anthony Hill back, like, that's another one of those reasons. You look at Anthony Hill's draft stock, and Anthony Hill, we all agree, should be a top 15 pick in next year's draft, but he's now being put in the second round because you didn't see as much. There's not as much on tape of him doing what he's capable of doing at that next level when he has a full defense around him like he will in the NFL. So, how much that goes into that, Matt, of the linebacker core now looking and saying this could be a little bit more fun.
Yes, absolutely. I don't know. I don't know if this is going to have any impact on LaFau or not. From what I heard, he got an NIL deal somewhere or an NIL offer for somewhere, and that's why he's leaving. But I have heard an interesting report from Eric Nalen of Inside Texas. You talk about Will Muschamp bringing in the guys that he wants to bring in. According to Eric Nalen, Blake Gideon is the lead candidate to replace Dwayne Aquina. The same Blake Gideon who is the safeties coach in 2024 when Texas had one of the top three pass defenses in college football.
No, I'm sure that's a guy he'd love to have. And it's, if Blake Gideon wants to come back, he's the DC of Georgia Tech right now.
Mm-hmm.
So is he a co-defensive coordinator, which means then, of course, Johnny Nansen's out and you find another linebackers coach, which he can do. We're saying that's, once you're kind of in, you can't dip your toe into changing coordinators like this. Right, Matt? You don't want to dip your toe in the water and go, well, we want to hire a coordinator, but we're not going to give him control over what his defense is going to do. You want to hire a guy and then say, if you want to keep some guys, we'll help you. We'll try and make the money right to keep guys and make it work. But if you've got other guys, there's a reason we hired you, is we think you can come in here and make this defense a top-level defense.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Namon, I'm not sure if he's going to help you flip any recruits. It'd be kind of tough right now considering signing day already happened. But I think that it's going to give you a good opportunity in the future to really give you a leg up on some of these other guys that maybe weren't necessarily interested in you in first. Maybe they were really into what Georgia was doing, and maybe they were Georgia. You're going to have an opportunity to, get in on those guys now more than likely, because they're going to like the scheme that Will Muschamp runs. I think you're absolutely right, Patrick. I think that you can't dip your toe into this. If you're going to make a change at defensive coordinator, you need to make a wholesale change. And again, no disrespect to Pete Kwiatkowski. I thought he did a great job. I think he's a phenomenal coach. Will Muschamp is going to change your identity. Will Muschamp is going to change everything about what your defense is doing, and you need to allow him to bring in the guys that he's comfortable with to help him do that, whether that's Blake Gideon, a new linebackers coach, anywhere across the board. The one guy on the staff that I would be like, okay, can we please hold on to him because he's really good and he's a really good recruiter and I really like him is Lallon Clark, the edges coach. But outside of that, I say let him have free reign. Let him do whatever he wants to do with this defense. And when you look up next year, you're going to have a really, really good unit once again.
And for people a little bit worried about recruits, Trey Atkinson, Bo Barnes have both already put out Instagram stories. Trey Atkinson with fire below the report that Will Muschamp's coming in. Bo Barnes with scary season written with Bill Muschamp coming in. So it does feel like these guys were aware of the change happening and are excited about the change happening with that. And look, to the people who are still talking about Kyle Flood, this does mean nothing's off the table. This is the sign that nothing is off the table. So I would still not expect massive changes on the offense. I would not expect it, but I did not expect this. So it means nothing is now off the table, which does mean, you know, that will be talked about. And do they want to bring somebody else in to be the new offensive line coach? Do they want to bring in a different offensive coordinator to run the play? Do we know if Sark's going to be calling plays next year? We would assume he is. You're going to assume all of these things until we're proven wrong, because if I told y'all 2 days ago PK's gone, you would have gone, no, Kyle Flood's gone. One of them's gone. It's definitely Kyle Flood. But today we'll tell you it was PK that went out. And so while we can put it on the run game not being there, and we can now say it feels like a lot of people may be taking some flack for the offensive line play being bad, that your running backs coach and your defensive coordinator have now both been fired. And a lot of that stems with your offense couldn't run the football. So I get why people are still like, I don't like this about Kyle Flood. And if you can go get the guy that you want to go get, and there is that other name, then I could see it happening. I don't know what that other name would be, though, where he would say, I'm going to change all of this up to go get another offensive coordinator / offensive line coach / whoever. I don't know who that guy is. And Will Muschamp is a guy that if you would have said they want to bring in Will Muschamp to replace PK, would have gone, oh, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it's not something I would have probably sat in a box and petitioned for, but I get why it makes sense, Matt. He is, once again, a through and through SEC guy who has played a style of defense that is much more aggressive. We've also hired two coaches from the two schools that beat us in the SEC this year. Jabbar Jalouk from Florida and Will Muschamp was with Georgia this year. So all of those parts, you just go, all right, we see what they're doing. I will say that if Kyle Flood was fired tomorrow, it would not surprise me at this point. But I'm not expecting it, Matt.
Okay, so the offensive line coach thing. I understand why people are kind of up in arms about the way the offensive line has played this past year. It was not a banner year for Kyle Flood or that offensive line. And over his tenure at Texas, at least, I'm not as familiar with his tenure at Alabama, at least not as intimately. There's been a lot of penalties. There's been a lot of unforced errors. There's been a lot of miscommunication at times, especially this year. Obviously, you saw that on the interior. The development on the offensive line, especially on the interior, has been a little slower than you would like. You still have really good tackles. You've had really good tackles for years. You had one of the best offensive lines in the country last year. That decision all comes down to what Steve Sarkisian wants to do with this offense. I can tell you right now, if I know anything, it's that Steve Sarkisian is going to be the one who is going to call plays for this team as long as he wants to. I think that is what he likes to do. I don't think that there's anybody else in the country who can, you know, give him the confidence that they can do it better than he can. And maybe that's kind of a pride thing and he's really confident in himself, but I wouldn't expect a change there. If something does happen, I am now convinced that Kyle Flood, after that, I am now convinced that Kyle Flood it being moved is not off the table. One thing that Steve Sarkisian has also shown in all of his coaching changes thus far, at least the two big ones with Jabbar Jalouk and Will Muschamp, is that he is going to find the guy that he wants before he makes a move. Mm-hmm. He had circled Jabbar Jalouk before they departed ways with Chad Scott, and they went and got him like a day or two later. They announced the firing of Pete Kwiatkowski and Dwayne Aquina today, and simultaneously in the same announcement announced his replacement, Will Muschamp, which means he already knew who he wanted before he made the change, and he made sure that he could get him before he made the change.
Yeah. Well, that's how CDC operates for the most part.
And now that we're hearing from Eric Nalen at Inside Texas that Blake Gideon is already on the board for a replacement at safeties coach as a potential candidate, maybe that's something that drops in the next day or two. Who are you going to get to replace Kyle Flood? That is a question that you will have to figure out before you make this move.
And obviously, I know the name Sam Pittman is the name everyone's throwing out. I don't think that's the way I would go right now. Personally, I wouldn't go for a guy who just came off getting fired as a head coach, and his name is not necessarily probably the same in recruiting and all those other things that it was. I probably wouldn't go that route right now. Maybe in a year, I would go more Sam Pittman. If we take a year off of it, I would probably give him a chance to decompress after everything from Arkansas, but and see if he still really wants to do it. But other than that, Matt, yeah, I don't know how many other names we really look at and go, oh, that's the dude.
I mean, Kyle Flood is the highest paid offensive line coach in college football. I don't think that that is by accident. I think he is widely regarded as one of the best offensive line coaches in the country, and there's a reason that people seek out his knowledge and bring him to camps and coaching, coaching conferences and those kinds of things. I mean, there are some names that are up there where you could be like, okay, this guy is really good. Is he an upgrade from Kyle Flood? I don't know. Like Alex Atkins at Florida State, Justin Fry at Ohio State, Rob Sale at Florida, who did a great job this past year and is going to put a couple guys in the NFL. Matt Luke at Clemson, who I have a personal disdain for because it was the worst years of Ole Miss football that I can remember in my lifetime when he was the head coach. Brad Davis at LSU, Bill Bedenbaugh at Oklahoma, Jim Harding at Utah, Glenn Ellerbe at Tennessee, all really good coaches. Are they better than Kyle Flood? Will they develop talent the way that Kyle Flood does? I don't know. Here's what I would like to know. I would like to know if Steve Sarkisian wants to fundamentally change the way that he approaches offense. And by that, I mean, he's already hired a running backs coach who does things differently than Chad Scott and Tashard Choice. And they're probably going to do things a little bit differently in the running game. Do you want to bring in an offensive line coach who's going to focus more on power and running the football and moving guys off of their spot rather than what they have now, which is a more pass protection is comes first style of offensive line? If he wants to make that change, then yes, I can see them making a change at offensive line coach. But that is probably the million-dollar question that we're going to be asking if there's going to be a change there.
Yeah, no, I think you're 100% on there, Matt. It is kind of, offensive philosophy. And again, that's why you bring in a Will Muschamp, is we want to change our defensive philosophy, and we can't do that with PK. You can't change your offensive philosophy with Sark if he doesn't want to change it. Doesn't matter who you hire. You know, the philosophy is going to be the philosophy. I can get the arguments for it. I don't think anybody's wrong for suggesting that. But I'm with you. The way CDC works is he likes to have the replacement ready to go. When they fired Rodney Terry, Sean Miller was there, right? That was all done in the same, like when they got rid of I can't think of his name now. I met the guy multiple times, the baseball coach before
David Pierce.
David Pierce. When they got rid of David Pierce, they already had, they like th- that was the only thing that they were, that came out a day early because David Pierce got pissed off on them having to wait. And so David Pierce came out and said that he knew he was fired, but that wasn't supposed to come out until they could name the next coach. So it is something that, there's still more changes in there. Chris Jackson, we know his contract is up at the end of this year. So is his going through the rest of this season and through December 31st. And then on January 1st, they say, all right, we've got our new hire. Because you don't really want to make all these changes necessarily. It's a very small window between December 31st and the portal. Sorry, I said December 31st and the portal. When you play in your bowl game, you prefer not to make those moves. But for a guy like Will Muschamp, for a guy like Jabbar Jalouk, there may be other job offers. And if you're not willing to make the deal then, they could be gone by the time you get to January. And so it makes sense why these moves are now, where I think we'll see more turnover. Plus, we don't know who's going to leave. Like, again, we could have anybody come out and say, I'm taking a better job.
Yeah. Here's what I think. And Zach, I agree with you. I don't think that you had to fire PK. I think what this signifies to me is that Texas wants to make a fundamental shift in the way that they play football in terms of,
yeah,
like what was their issue this year against top teams and last year against Ohio State and against Georgia? They got pushed around.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that Texas has now signified with the hiring of Jabbar Jalouk, with the hiring of Will Muschamp, and maybe with the hiring of a new offensive coordinator new offensive line coach if they decide to move on from Kyle Flood, that they are tired of being that team. That they want to be the team that comes out and hits you in the mouth and is aggressive and physical and really what Georgia has been the last, decade under Kirby Smart. I think Texas wants to adopt that model, and that's what hiring Will Muschamp and Jabbar Jalouk signifies to me. I want to give PK his flowers too, because I think he deserves it. It sucks that he got fired, because I thought he did a great job at Texas over the last few years. I mean, how many offensive or defensive coordinators can you list to me that have held Oklahoma and Texas A&M to what PK has held them to over the last couple of years?
Yeah. Well, that's the joke, is that Colin Klein went to Kansas State, so now they can get rid of PK.
That was one of the most often explosive offenses in the country this year. They held him to 17 points. They had one defensive touchdown last year. They didn't score an offensive touchdown on PK. Oklahoma hasn't scored an offensive touchdown on Texas in 2 years. Like that means something. I know you're trying to troll Sooner Cowboys, but I'm not going to listen to it. This is whatever anybody wants to say about PK, and I think he deserves all the respect in the world. I think this is a substantial upgrade. Substantial upgrade.
I think for the style of play that we have to get into of SEC play, this is why Jabbar Jalouk is an SEC guy. And Will Muschamp is an SEC guy, and you're trying to surround yourself with more people that can play, as you said, more physical, more aggressive football. And so those I think PK again, and we don't know, he could end up somewhere like Boise State again. He could end up in Nevada. And I think if I'm Lincoln Riley, I'm called him already. And I'm like, whatever you want to do, my defenses have sucked forever. PK, you can save my job at USC if you come in and put in your type of defense here at USC. I think he'll
have a job by tomorrow or the next day. He's going to be very coveted.
So I think that when we see it, and it's just when we see how many opt-outs there were in the bowl game this year, when we see all those pieces, it wasn't necessarily the most fun style of football for a lot of these defenders to play. These guys were recruited to be killers, and they weren't necessarily killers. That's what you want. You also talk about about Will Muschamp having the Georgia connection. He is a former Georgia Bulldog himself, played there. He is coached there. He has connections across the SEC in recruiting. That while PK has made those connections now, he is not from that world, where Will Muschamp is much more from that world in recruiting. And when you're going in these battles, now Kirby Smart is going to walk in there and say, yeah, Will Muschamp couldn't even be RDC and he wasn't good enough to. So, you know, you'll get recruited against as well, but it's definitely a push for Texas to try and take that next step forward and be more aggressive in the SEC, not allow yourself to fall behind. Where Sark, we've talked about, he is an explosive play guy. And it feels defensively what he always kind of went with PK for was, we don't want to allow the explosive play on defense. We don't want to allow the explosive play. It feels with Will Muschamp, you're aiming more of, we want to create explosive plays on defense. We want to create game-changing plays of big sacks and interceptions and those types of things. You want to be able to create those more than being worried about getting blown past on one play. You realize you're playing against these great teams. They're going to score on you at some point. you can't, you know, just keep playing to not score. So I think all of those places for Muschamp, it makes sense. It's definitely shocking. And then I said this earlier too, Matt, hats off to Texas for keeping this a secret. That's a good thing for your program to have. It's a very good thing for your program to have that you can do all of this and have a new coordinator hired before it gets broken on with the best reporters in college sports reporting on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's that, because there's going to be things you got to do. I don't want to say everybody tampers. I'll let everybody else in college football say everybody tampers, but maybe everybody tampers. So it's nice to have some things on lockdown and to be able to make some moves without everyone blowing it up in your face, because Texas has not always been that sly about things. So I think it's a sign of respect for CDC and his staff and Sark and his staff to be able to pull off some of these moves without people knowing. You just have to be able to do that, or else you're going to get left in the dust because everyone else is going to find out what you're doing.
Pete Tamil didn't know about this. Pete Nakos didn't know about this.
No.
Chris Hummer, Matt Zienitz. In my opinion, the best reporter on the Texas beat with more connections than anybody else. No, not me. Chip Brown didn't know. Like, I assume he didn't know about this because he had to jump off the show.
Yes.
that is something that is, you know, shocking to me because this stuff leaks everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
And the fact that they were able to keep that in-house and not only move on from two coaches, two prominent coaches, but hire somebody all in one move without any, without it leaking at all, that's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. It's a weird piece for Texas to be able to get that done, to basically send out a press release. And we don't know, because again, we're focused. We're looking at Kyle Flood as kind of maybe the fall guy for all of this. And I would say that, like, I think Kyle Flood's a hell of a coach. I think he'd have another job just like PK will. And I understand why people are upset. I think this also shows that where a lot of people, because Sark is not the guy to come out and throw people under the bus and everything else, that people felt that their anger was being unseen. And that their anger and frustration with this season and the result of it was maybe not as taken as seriously as they felt it needed to be taken. You know, we keep hearing the standard is the standard and all of that, in all the chats and everything about this team. This feels like they're holding up to it. This feels like Texas understood that being top 15 is not good enough in today's world. That making the playoffs and getting the two semifinals in a row is great, but we need to try and be better.
Yeah. It's like I said a few minutes ago, Patrick. This is something that signifies to me that Sark knew that they needed to make wholesale changes if they want to compete for a national championship. And simply, you know, employing your friends who you trust is good. But if you want to be great, you have to bring in the best. And I'm not saying Pete Kwiatkowski is not one of the best. I'm saying Will Muschamp is better. Jabbar Jalouk is better than Chad Scott. And maybe, I don't know that there are going to be anybody out there that's a better offensive line coach than Kyle Flood. But if you feel like there's a better fit who gives you a better opportunity to win, then make the change.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think you'd go to Ohio State because you'd say, look, we're only hiring people that beat us. It's all we're hiring right now is people who beat us. It was definitely shocking to see that come through. And that's Texas Rocks. That's kind of what we're at. What are the changes going to be offensively? Again, like, there's still a bowl game. And so a lot of these changes you don't necessarily want to make. And I think, too, we look at it, and defensively you could make this move now because the ship's already sinking, mate. Or the ship's just, you're bailing water already defensively. You've already lost, you know, how many guys are opting out of this bowl game defensively? Michael Taft, Jalen Gilbo, Anthony Hill. Leon LaFalle is not going to be there. I've heard Ethan Burke now is not going to be there. Like, you've got a lot of names that are, Manny Muhammad's not going to be there. So defensively, this is already such a new unit. You can kind of move into next year with that. Offensively, we haven't heard the opt-outs yet. So if you're saying it's just DeAndre Moore, then you'd like to keep some of the cohesion through the bowl game so you can go into Michigan and feel good about what Arch Manning's hearing, where Arch is at, where the offensive line, all of that stuff. You kind of want to feel better about that going into the game than maybe making a sweeping change before January 1st. But you're going to have to make that change quickly. I believe, like, again, how quickly this was done, it's easy enough to believe that other changes are in the works or things are being discussed that would come out very early into the new year for Texas, because you have to get out before that transfer portal window starts. So you're making the change, then you like to be able to get it done very quickly. But you're, because your new window is what, January 4th, January 2nd, something like that. It's really early in January.
It's January 2nd.
So you're basically saying we play on New Year's Eve and then on New Year's Day making announcements, and then the portal starts on the 2nd. And you kind of have to have all this done really quickly. So there's not a big window for change, but if anything's going to happen, it will have already been decided, and they're just waiting because they don't want to shake it up before the bowl game.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you have to make too many changes before the bowl game, then you're probably going to be in a little bit of hot water against Michigan.
They didn't have any big changes, did they?
No. No, of course not. I think Brennan Marion has already been hired somewhere. I think he's the new offensive coordinator at
Colorado,
yes. Here's the thing, though. I think if you want to bring in a new offensive coordinator, you can still do that and just let Sark call the plays in the bowl game.
I think you could, for sure.
And just let him sit there and absorb and whatever. Here's what I'll say about Sark calling plays. I think he's elite at it. I think that the issues with the Texas offense were not because of Sark this year. I think it was an offensive line thing. I think it was an inability to run the football. And I think that he did a phenomenal job in the second half of the season of disguising those issues and making big time improvements over the last half of the season. If he is going to give up play calling, which I would never expect him to do in a million years, I'm not so sure that he would bring in somebody from the outside to help him do that.
No, I think
he would. I think it would be A.J. Milwee who would call the plays, because he knows Sark very well. He knows Sark's tendencies. He knows what Sark likes to do. And Sark would still be able to be involved in those conversations. I mean, he still would because he's the head coach, but he'd be much, yeah. There would be much more connectivity and chemistry there in terms of having those conversations and figuring out what they want to do. So I don't, that's one spot where, like, we're talking about making these wholesale changes. If for some reason that did happen, that is one position that I would not expect for there to be an outside person coming in, unless there is somebody out there that I'm not thinking of that he already has a great chemistry and history with.
Yeah. And I can say this, Texas rocks just unequivocally. Brennan Marion will never call plays as long as Sark is coach. Like, that's just, it's not on the table. That is very different than what Sark wants to do. I'm a big Brennan Marion fan, but what they like the, one of the reasons why I was a big fan of it, Rob Babers was a huge fan of it, of the go-go offense being brought into Texas, was to teach Sark pieces of it that he could take out of it. But it's never going to be Sark's main cup of tea is the go-go offense. And it doesn't necessarily work at a major power level. So he has to prove that it can work at a Colorado or something like that. So that's kind of, there's hangups in that. So, but Sark, if Sark's going to bring in somebody to call plays, it's somebody that he really likes their play calling. And I agree with Matt, AJ Milwee's the only guy that I could say off the top of my head would be somebody that he would feel comfortable calling those plays. And again, the same thing with Kyle Flood. I don't know who the hell the offensive coordinator out there, who's a big name, but would also call plays the way Sark wants plays called. Like, I don't know who that guy is. So it doesn't necessarily feel like you're going to go in there. And keep in mind, by the way, Ohio State's got to get their new offensive coordinator now too.
Mm-hmm.
They have to get a new play caller. That's another major school you're competing against to go get the best play caller. They've been a little bit more loose with it of who they've gotten. But I could see Milwee happening. I think that would be more interesting if you go. That one seems also like you keep Kyle Flood, though, because now you don't have to make AJ Milwee. You don't have to bring in like a new OC or somebody else. And if you just promote AJ Milwee to OC, it doesn't sound like that would necessarily make the donors and boosters and recruits and everybody else love it that same way.
Chris, I wouldn't hate that. Here's another thing that I'll say about that too. Lane Kiffin was the play caller at Ole Miss when he got there. Yeah. He hired Charlie Weiss Jr. as his offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach, but Charlie Weiss Jr. did not call plays at first. He called plays this year. He eventually earned the responsibility, and Lane Kiffin took a step back, allowed him to call plays. He still had his hands on the offense and made decisions and all those different kinds of things. If Sark wants to do a similar thing with AJ Milwee, where he's like, all right, I'm going to promote you to offensive coordinator next year. And then the year after that, maybe we'll give you a shot at calling plays.
Yeah.
That's something that I could see happening.
Brian Hartline at Ohio State.
Yeah. That's another same one. Thing.
So, yeah, we've seen that. I could believe, like, again, we saw earlier this year, Sark put AJ Milwee up in the box from off the field. And that probably more than anything signified to me that they may be working towards that goal. That this is something that they're working to have the line of communication open where you don't even have to be on the field together, just in the headset. Can we work as an offensive coordinator where I'm on the field, you're upstairs, and I'll be able to now do more things as a full team. But that all being said, having Will Muschamp come in then feels like Sark saying, I don't necessarily need to take care of the defensive end of the ball.
Yeah.
So that, again, takes you away from the world of him giving up play calling, is him saying, no, I'm willing to bring in somebody who has head coaching experience, who is somebody that I can trust to run the organization defensively, that probably doesn't want me in his ear all the time telling him exactly what to do defensively. I'm bringing in someone I trust. So that would make me lean the other way, that I doubt he's giving up play calling at least this year. But I agree with what Matt said. You may be still training AJ Milwee to be that guy if the moment comes to it, that we need to go in and take that over. So I think you have to keep pushing that forward for both AJ Milwee and for Sark to have that in there. But, you know, I think we all know too, Sark has, we know, with the change of Will Muschamp, which I'm assuming is a Sark decision, not an above his head decision. I would assume it's a Sark decision. That once that's all been said and done, that we get to, after next season, if Texas does not achieve what they want to achieve, then, you know, then the best laid plans of we're getting AJ Milwee where we want him to be and everything else kind of goes out the window there. You know, if your offensive line isn't where it needs to be, your offense doesn't, produce the way he wants, if Arch Manning isn't in that next level conversation next season where he is being treated as one of the best quarterbacks, if you are able to go get a really good running back and Trey Wisner now, you know, reportedly coming back to Texas next season, if you aren't able to make those two guys work as a running back, if you aren't able to get Ryan Wingo to catch passes better, if you aren't able to get all of those pieces together offensively, people are going to start asking questions, and you can't change the defense again because you just brought in Will Muschamp.
Mm-hmm.
So he feels like maybe he's going to buy himself another year, but you know, everything's on that. So you can train and plan for AJ Milwee to maybe be down the line the guy. But if things don't go right, that you don't necessarily get that chance.
Yeah. We'll have to see how it shakes out. I don't particularly like the idea of making changes at both coordinator spots going into a season that you're supposed to compete for a national championship. I think that is going to be something that's going to end up biting Texas A&M next year, because it's going to be wildly different. Then again, I mean, Mike Elko's a defensive play caller there, so maybe it's not a wholesale change. But, I mean, look at what happened to the Detroit Lions this year.
Oh, 100%.
Look at what happened to the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, if you make too many changes, you can take a step back before you take a step forward. And I hope that that's not the case. I still think that you're not going to find anybody else in college football who's a better play caller than Steve Sarkisian. Maybe allowing Will Muschamp to completely take the keys of the defense and be like, all right, like, I can focus on the offense and the game management, you know, and all those different things. I'm okay with that. That frees up some responsibility for me in one way, shape, or form. And now I can commit more to making sure that this offense is firing on all cylinders. And then if it doesn't work as well as you'd like it next year, then maybe you have the conversation again. But I don't want them to make too many changes on this staff.
No, I'm with you. Tyler Atkinson did just tweet out, talk about full circle. I'm excited to have Coach Muschamp in Texas. Let's work. Hashtag hook. Mm-hmm. So one of your big guys in there you want to see. And that's, I think, you know, you may have been pitching a more aggressive defense, and then behind the scenes, they knew something was in the works. This does feel like a win for Texas. This feels like if you have to make a move, you have to change things up. We knew Dwayne Aquino was going to be out, and so that does kind of, or we figured Dwayne Aquino was going to be out. So I think that also opens you up to, well, who are we bringing in? Because now, you know, it's you know, what guy are you going to be excited about in that secondary? And if it is indeed Blake Gideon that comes back, you're more excited about that because what he was able to do a couple years ago. I think you're just more excited about this defense now, as opposed to a little bit more worried about it because of how much wholesale change is happening in this defense this year that we haven't really had. This is what our offense went through a year ago of so much wholesale change. But, you know, you feel pretty good right now. You still have Colin Simmons. You've got Justice Terry, who you think is going to be a beast. You've got some other really good young players out there. Grayson Littleton stepped up and showed himself really good. You know, hoping Jelani McDonald is back next year as well. And then you hit that transfer portal really, really hard. I should say Cade Phillips too. Also another dude who's had a really good finish of the season. You feel good about some of those players. You add in the transfer portal and now a new DC and a new, more aggressive approach going into next season. It feels like a win of the teams that saw us this year and started to figure out PK a little bit more. And that is a whole new ball game when you're talking about defensively how you match up against Texas next season. Now, can he go out there and put up the same stats and continue to shut teams down and get the ball back to Sark? That is yet to be seen. There is no guarantees in college football, but I do think it's a win overall. Even though PK, again, do not want to talk badly about PK. This is not a firing because he really didn't hit where he needed to. It feels like philosophically that they just finally broke apart of you have to be more aggressive. You have to try and go after players.
Yeah, I agree. If you've been knocking on the door for the last couple years, and you take a step back after not making the playoff and really give yourself an opportunity to self-diagnose and figure out where your issues were, and you realize defensively we were good, we were really good, but there are things that I would like to change that would put us on more of a competitive level to a Georgia, then I am totally fine with that decision-making process. This isn't something that he just off the cuff decided, hey, I'm making a change. This seems like a well thought out philosophical decision.
Like, yes.
I am going to change things in this way because this is how I want to play football. And that's okay. Like I'm telling you guys, PK is going to get a job by the end of the week. Like, if not the week after.
Yeah.
There's somebody out there who's going to find him.
And again, we talk about, when I say SEC coordinator, who are the two best teams that PK game planned against? Oklahoma and A&M. Oklahoma and
Texas A&M.
Who are their offensive coordinators? Big 12 guy, Pac 12 guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, even though you're in the SEC now, the teams he was really, really good against were guys who are running offenses that were not necessarily standard SEC offenses. Now with nine games you're playing, Matt, every season, you're going to see a lot more old school SEC and not as much new school SEC. And if PK is having trouble with old school SEC, then you want to bring in somebody who is more used to it and mm-hmm. more used to, we know how we have to go in there and be more physical and how to coach these guys up and get them ready to play.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, listen, Sooner Cowboys, I love you. You're one of my favorite commenters, but you have been factually wrong on a lot of things you're saying in there. I don't know if you know this, but Tyler Atkinson signed with Texas before they made the decision to move on from PK. So it is what it is. Can we just for 1 second examine the Georgia Bulldogs and what they have done defensively over the last couple of years against Texas, against Alabama, like whoever you want to bring up? If you watch that football and that football excites you defensively and you want to be the aggressive defense that gets after the quarterback and is very fundamentally sound and everybody knows where they're supposed to be at the right times, that is what you're going to get now. You're going to get someone who has seen SEC football up close and personal for the last, 15 years, and knows what it takes to be a defensive coordinator in this conference and be an elite defensive coordinator in this conference against everybody.
Two national titles.
That's what you're getting. So be happy about it.
No, I tell you, you're getting a guy who's won two national titles in the last 5 years as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Not to be your head coach, to be your defensive coordinator. So you're getting that. And, you know, if we look at why he was at Georgia and why he wasn't the DC at Georgia this season, it was, he said, to step away and spend more time with his family and not be in fully immersed. It feels like he did that and was like, okay, maybe there's some butting heads with Kirby, maybe everything else. He may have been looking for his exit. But this feels like something that he was ready to come to Texas and be that guy. He won two national titles with Georgia as a defensive coordinator. He is now, he has game planned. He was still working with Georgia last season. He just wasn't, his title meant that he did not have to be there as much as he has been there in the past. So this is big. It's a big hire. It's a big move to show Texas is not willing to stand pat after having a 3-loss, really good season. They're not willing to stand pat on that. And I think that's the win you wanted to see was, I want to see something, and I don't just want to see PK fired or Kyle Flood fired. I want to see you progressively make this a better team than throwing darts at the wall. And this is not throwing a dart at the wall. This is going and picking a guy that you have had your eye on for quite some time that you're really going after. He was really good at Texas the first time. Name interim coach, gets a head coaching job out of Texas at Florida. And this time he's coming in as a DC. I think it has to be a major win. It has to be a positive step to show that Texas is serious about what they're trying to do, to step forward and say next year is the window. Next year, the window was a year ago. The window was last year, and we missed it. And a couple plays, if they change up with Quinn Ewers, we're already holding up a trophy. But we have that same shot again next season, and we don't want to waste that away. So I'm there. I the Kyle Flood would not shock me if he was gone. It would surprise me, but not shock me. I don't know the words for it, but it would be, at this point, you go, who are you bringing in? And I think they're only going to let him go if they have a home run like they just felt like they hit with Will Muschamp.
Yeah, let's go back in Will Muschamp's history real quick. Georgia hired Will Muschamp as a defensive analyst in 2021. He worked with the defense and helped the coaches, and he technically was named the special teams coordinator, but he was mostly there for defensive purposes. And then after Dan Lanning left, he became the co-defensive coordinator with Glenn Schumann. And let's kind of, and that was in 2022. Let's kind of look at the stats of that real quick. In 2021, Georgia ranked number one in the SEC in scoring defense, number one in the SEC in rushing defense, number two in the SEC in passing defense, and number one in total defense. In 2022, they ranked number one in scoring offense or scoring defense, number one in rushing defense, number eight in passing defense, and number one in total defense. 2023, number one in total defense. 2024, number eight. 2025, number four. Will Muschamp has his hands in that defense, and they are the best defense over the last 5 years in the SEC. You are going to get the Georgia defensive playbook in Austin. Doesn't that sound great?
It does. It does. I'm with you, man. I'm excited about it. It's been like, hey, I was excited enough. I hopped on the air. We got the call and then said, all right, let's go on and do it. We are going to take our first break, though. We got to take our first break. We'll come back, talk more about this, talk a little bit about the suspected Trey Wisner news as well, along with the suspected Jaden Ball news. That is coming out. Reports about both of those players coming out. We'll get into that. Bama Bruce coming up here in the 5 o'clock hour too. Lots of good stuff still coming for you. Hang out with us. We appreciate you here on a Thursday afternoon of Open Gym here on Texas Sports Unfiltered.
Hi, this is Tom McKay, owner of Audiovisual Consultations, and all of us at Audiovisual would like to wish you and your family a happy holiday season. This time of year can get a little hectic, so we want to remind you to relax, enjoy the season with your family and friends, and give us a call at 512-255-8678 for all of your home entertainment needs. This is my favorite time of the year. I love the holidays, the music, the decorations, the presents, the whole darn thing. So this year I'm asking all you listeners to help make this a special holiday for everyone. Smiles are contagious and free, so let's give them away like the government gives away your money. Let's high-five strangers on the street, hold the door for people behind us, tip your servers more than they've ever been tipped before, give to a charity, or hell, give to a bunch of charities. If someone does a good job, tell them they did a good job. Pat someone on the butt, sing in public places just because it feels good. And as always, hug your kids until they beg you to stop, watch some games with your friends, and make love to your wife or your husband. I know there's some women listening too. You can still give us a call at 512-255-8678 if you'd like to get some cool electronics, but more importantly, have a great holiday season and a fucking awesome next year.
You see COVID everywhere. It's that personal level of just feeling like it's a personal family interaction.
The customer service, it's impeccable. It's unlike anything I've ever experienced buying a car.
Over the 30 years that I've been buying cars from them, I feel like I know them and they know me.
COVID's done an amazing job of making me feel valued. If you purchase a vehicle and you want to feel like you're part of a family, join the COVID family.
Come and experience it for yourself.
Covert, born and raised in Austin.
BK here for Olipop. Man, this stuff is the game changer of all game changers. Their slogan is a new kind of soda, and that's exactly what it is. You get that same great soda taste, but Olipop is actually good for you. Inside of every can, a blend of 7 unique botanicals, plant fibers, and prebiotics. You're getting 9 grams of fiber in every can, only 2 to 5 grams of sugar, and man, the flavor is absolutely there. Classic soda flavors like cola, root beer, lemon lime, and Dr. Goodwin. That's their version of a Dr. Pepper, and some other great flavors as well. The grape, the cream soda, the cherry cola. It's all fantastic. I'm telling y'all, Olipop tastes just like the soda you grew up sipping, but with the added benefits of microbiome and digestive health support as well. Pick up Olipop at HEB, Target, Walmart, Whole Foods, and Costco all throughout the Austin area and the state of Texas. And head over to drinkolipop.com. Use the promo code TEXAS20 for a discount on your first purchase. It's Olipop, a new kind of soda.